Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I just got back from the hospital. I took my son over there to get a blood draw. And I'm currently the person in his life that can do that only. Of 8 billion people on Earth, the only person who's going to be able to get him over there. So wow. I did that. He vomited, as he always does, poor guy.
God dang it.
Yeah. Imagine how nervous you have to be to make yourself, for your body to do that.
I'm not sure I've ever been.
I've never vomited from nervousness, though.
No. Oh, my gosh. The poor lad.
It's rough. Yeah. Nothing about that room is enjoyable.
No, indeed. The reward that was discussed, will that be delivered today?
Which reward was that?
For getting through that whole process. Yogurt with all the smoothie with all the toppings or whatever it was.
Yeah, the timing doesn't work out on that, so we're going to wait till tomorrow till his brother's back from this camp that he's on. His brother's at a camp for 3 days because they want to do it together. Because that's, if you have siblings, it's fun to do that stuff with your sibling.
Oh yeah, sure. Compare each other's Sundays with each other. Look at that. Look at how many gummies I got on mine.
Right, and then how awful you feel afterwards.
Oh. I remember there were once or twice we told the kids, yeah, go ahead at the yogurt shop, and they went crazy with the toppings. And I looked at it, and I thought, I could not get a third of the way through that thing without puking.
Yeah, it's
interesting. It looks horrible.
The way kids process sugar, desire and process it. I've talked to them about it before because they say to me all the time, how come you don't just eat as many candy bars as you want? You're an adult.
And I tell them,
well, yeah, exactly. Honestly, I do, like one a month. Your tastes change. It just does not sound appealing to you past a certain age. For most people, I do know people that can continue to eat candy like a kid, but most adults don't.
Yeah, or swig down Cokes, for instance.
Boy,
once you get off Soda Pops, you can't drink them anymore. They're way too sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I every once in a while I'll take a sip and think, oh my God, how do people pound these down all day long? You have to get used to it. You have to build up a tolerance. My dad always used to say that when he was a kid, he thought when he grew up, he would eat unlimited peanut butter. He was just going to eat as much peanut butter as he wanted.
That's funny.
And he was going to have a refrigerator next to his bed, so he just would, the food would always be right there.
After, and we have earth-changing and gut-wrenching news to discuss, and we'll get back to it this hour, but it's funny, after a hiatus of years in which I did not have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, there are several mornings, you know, a month, several, that I'll think, I don't want my healthy protein bar. I'm having me a PB&J for breakfast.
That's a dang good sandwich, man.
With a cup of coffee? Are you kidding? Oh, and so much more defensible than a donut.
Oh, yeah. Which I had yesterday, which brings me to an interesting topic. I had a couple of donuts yesterday. And so I'm in this donut shop, and it's about noon, and I'd never been, as in a different part of town, I'd never been to this donut shop before. And I say to the guy behind the counter, I didn't know he was the owner, but he turns out to be. I said, how do you make sure you have the right amount of donuts? Because I got a donut shop near me, and like half the time you show up at 10 o'clock, and it's dark, and it's closed because they ran out of donuts. And then the other half the time, they're throwing donuts out. And he said, I've been doing this for 35 years. You have to get a feel for it. And I said, really, you have a feel for it? And he said, yeah, weather, huge weather. He said, it's like rainy and cold right now. I know I'm going to have to make twice as many donuts. If it's kind of a windy, cool day, I'd make twice as many donuts if it's like 85 and still.
Wow.
And I thought, how fascinating is that about just the free market in general? Here's a guy that's developed an expertise that's outside of like anything you would teach in school or anything like that about having a sense of how many donuts to make. And the donut shop near me has changed hands I don't know how many times in the years that I've lived near there, and it's always the same problem. They're throwing away donuts or they run up short. And, you know, you show up to the donut shop like twice and it's closed at 10 o'clock, you find a different donut shop.
Sure.
So they go out of business. But this guy, over decades, has developed a feel based on weather and day of the week and all kinds of different things for how many donuts he needs to make, and has been able to stay in business for decades. I just thought that was a really great story about capitalism and
the
people
free
who make
market,
it.
Right.
People
and
who make
how
it
central
don't.
Planning will never, ever work.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that he can predict how many donuts to make if it's 75 and a little breezy versus 85 and still.
Wow, the donut whisperer. He ought to do seminars around the country. You could get richer doing that than making the donuts.
Yeah.
Donuts number one on the list of foods I would love to eat, but I don't.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, clear winner.
I love to eat and do. I shouldn't, but I do. Probably making this more serious than it needed to be for a conversation with a guy at a donut shop. But I went to a restaurant last night with my son, and the waiter was so good. And I told him, man, you're really going to do well in life. And I gave him a big tip. For some reason, I'm just in love with the free market and people who succeed at it. It gets me excited when I run into other people that are making it work, or young people that I can just see you're going to be fine. Maybe it's because I have kids and I worry about them. I don't know what it is, but I love people that figure out the free market and what it's going to take to succeed at it.
Well, you think you're turning it serious. I'm going to even up the ante more. I think it's because you see the encroachment of central planning.
Maybe that's it.
And socialism and government overreach and the rest of it. I mean, if you ran into a bureaucrat at the Department of What's-Its who is thoroughly entrenched and now has risen up to a level 5 clerk, you would never get that same feeling. The implementer of government policy. It would feel like a yoke had been laid upon you, not the delight of someone clever and aggressive and innovative and the rest of it. I think that speaks to the human spirit. I think that speaks to some people's human spirit. I think, and this is an uncomfortable thing to say, but I think our audience is very different than the typical randomly selected group of people. I think if you were to take human beings, one for the other, most people want the warm blanket of central planning and certainty. People would absolutely trade certainty for liberty
rather than I've got to develop a talent for figuring out how many donuts to make
and then sell it somehow in the free market. I wonder what percentage it is in the United States. What percentage, if you said, look, you will never be wealthy, you will never see your, you know, dreams come true. You'll never be hailed as great at this or a mentor to many or blah, blah, blah. But you're not going to have to try very hard at all.
I would
and
think
you're not going to starve.
I would include you'll never be proud of what you do.
Yes.
That's a lot of it.
Yeah.
The guy at the donor, that ran the donor shop clearly took great pride in the fact that he had that dialed in.
He sees a challenge and he overcomes it. That's cool. But then again, we and many, many of our listeners are of a certain personality type, and I'm just wondering how common that is or isn't.
So you present the, you'll never feel pride in your work, you'll never be wealthy, but you'll always be able to make your rent and your car payment and have enough. I think a lot of people would take that deal. The comfort one.
Well, and a lot of people probably should.
Because they're dopes.
Well, you know, it's like I've said, it took me a while to figure this out as a teenager, but I realized I'd done nothing to earn my brain power. I was born with it. You know, you have to do something with it, goodness knows, but talent? On loan from God, as Rush would have put it. You get no credit for that. And so there are people whose talents are very, very modest and always will be. And so, you know, I get that. What bothers me, I guess, to my heart and soul, is that we have so many people in the United States who are of enormous talent and cleverness and could be innovators and leaders and lead other people to achieve their goals, but they've bought the lie of you're better off being taken care of, or they've been convinced that because you are a black man or woman or child, for instance, or whatever else, you can't make it anyway. You never will. So don't try. That breaks my heart.
So why do you think people eat more donuts if it's breezy in 75 than if it's sunny in 85?
Number one, you just feel like a donut. when it's cooler. Number two probably has to do with the calories you're burning to keep yourself warm.
Oh, so that would be kind of a subconscious, like a non...
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking all of this stuff is 90% subconscious.
Yeah. He said nasty weather's good for donut eating. People want something to make them feel comfortable.
Right. Threatening weather. You got to hunker down. You got to get some calories in you because you got to retreat to the back of the cave, and you don't know when you're going to get another delicious antelope thigh.
Eating donuts in caves.
Yeah.
What's your go-to donut before we take a break? If you're at a donut shop,
we've argued bitterly over this through the years. I like the Bavarian cream.
Yeah, see, that's not a freaking donut. I shouldn't even ask this question.
Wow. You see the racism, folks? Well, donutism.
If it's got jelly or cream in it, that's not a donut. It's something else.
Armstrong and Getty. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
I forewarned you.
Let's go, Brandon.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
My name is Miranda. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist in Erie, Pennsylvania. And today I want to talk about minor attracted persons. And I want to talk about minor attracted persons because they are probably the most vilified population of folks in our culture. And most folks are making incorrect assumptions about them without actually knowing much about them, and those assumptions create harm for an already marginalized population.
So let's make sure you understand what this woman is talking about before we hear more from her. She is a licensed therapist of some sort there, talking about MAPs, minor attracted persons, which is kind of a euphemistic, watered-down version of saying people who are sexually interested in children.
Right.
And this is a Libs of TikTok thing, which has been criticized for a variety of reasons, when really what it is she made this video on purpose because she wanted people to see it. Then there's a
and
website.
Put it out, exactly.
And
right.
And then there's a website that gathers these to say, look how crazy some of these people are, and then they get mad. Anyway, let's hear more from this woman.
You may have noticed that I'm using the term minor attracted persons, sometimes abbreviated to MAPS, instead of the more commonly used term pedophile. And I'm doing this because the term pedophile has moved from being a diagnostic label to being a judgmental, hurtful insult that we hurl at people in order to harm them or slander them. I also prefer person-first language that recognizes that any label we might apply to a person is only part of who they are and doesn't represent everything that they are.
Wow.
We are all people first with many different facets or parts of ourselves, and this includes folks who are attracted to minors.
I had not heard that people first thing. So you want to look at totality of the human being. So sure, you're sexually.
Well, that's the origin of, like, you don't say homeless person, you say person experiencing homelessness.
Okay. So in this case, I'm supposed to not just focus on the fact that you want to have sex with children. You're also a wonderful dancer and speak two languages.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I want to point out that this is precisely the sort of person you see regularly quoted as an expert in sex and gender issues in New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today.
Good point. Let's hear a little more from Miranda.
So to start with, let's talk about what a minor attracted person is or who they are. This term simply means that the person has an enduring sexual or romantic attraction to minors. They've not chosen this attraction, just as the rest of us have not chosen whatever our attraction is. You don't get to choose to be heterosexual or to be gay or whatever you are, and you don't get to choose to be a minor attracted person. Some minor attracted persons are attracted to a specific age range of minors, while some are not. And some minor attracted persons are exclusively attracted to minors and are not attracted to adults at all. Some minor attracted persons are also attracted to adults.
Why would you
make this? Does she ever get to, is it okay in her mind for people to have sex with youngsters?
Right. Yeah, that's what I would like to know. That's where the rubber meets the road. So do you think these people should be allowed to be out in society doing this stuff, or do they need to be locked up? Because that's what society and pretty much all societies in the world throughout most of time, except for like the Taliban and the Greeks in a weird way, have decided that this is not what they want in their society. Is she suggesting that you should allow it in your society? You see, if you want to have sex with my kid and you touch him, I'm going to kill you, is a thing. So I don't know what she thinks of that.
Well, right. I mean, yeah, it would be helpful to hear her ultimate point. Is her ultimate point that, look, these people don't choose this?
I believe that.
Now, clearly, it's completely unacceptable in our society or any other, I would say.
And I doubt that's
so
where she's
going.
So here's
how we deal with that.
Yeah, I doubt she's going. But, yeah, I think I mostly believe that. Something happened in your wiring either before you were born or through abuse when you were a kid, and you can't help it, but if you can't control your urges, you can't be out and about in society. I think that's, that is what we've decided in every county in America.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting question. Again, I assume she's got wackadoo freakish ideas about it, but I was reading this long article about how the music industry covered up for R. Kelly for years and years, how people would actually have the conversation when he was a hit maker. Have you seen that video? And the answer would be, no, I didn't watch it, because if I watched it, then I wouldn't be able to work with them. So let's go make another hit record and make everybody rich.
Wow.
But one of the aspects of the article, it just shows again how the enlightened lecturers of Hollywood are such hypocrites and liars. But, one of the points of the article was he was sexually abused absolutely as a child. And has that.
Yeah.
Need for control or associates childhood with sex thing. And I've got to admit, while we can't permit anybody to sexually abuse children for any reason, there's no excuse that's appropriate. It would be really good if we could get really good at telling people, look, if you were a victim of sexual abuse and you have these desires, please come and talk to us, or here's what you do. Because Lord knows we don't want you to, we don't want to throw you in prison because you were abused as a child and haven't been able to deal with it. So I would love, but you know, here we are back to we need better mental health care in this country, which I think everybody agrees.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes. Be honest, I don't know most of these guys.
This is Armstrong and Getty.
Pretty damn cool.
Very fine people on both sides.
Because on the counter, you want to know why.
It is what it is.
We've made it possible.
With ridiculous bull.
But hey, man.
Right, I'm sure there's lots of ways that we can communicate.
So then I was like, yay!
Take a deep breath.
Oh! All right, go.
I'm sorry.
Here's Armstrong and Getty.
You're listening to the best of the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Here's a question for you. You ever use those like Airbnb or VRBO or anything to rent a house?
I have not.
Because dream come true.
I never go anywhere or do anything is one of the reasons that I've
yeah, I hesitated to even ask you. But I used one of them, and dream come true. 2 years deferred, but indeed, my benefactor, a terrific gentleman who had master's tickets and said, I know how much you want to go, why don't you use my tickets? Now, 2 years down the road, finally, they're going to have patrons at the Masters again. They don't call them fans, they call them patrons.
That's a golf match of some sort?
That's a golf tournament. It's the greatest of all golf tournaments, in my opinion. But anyway, so I have a couple of tickets to go to the Masters, and we're trying to figure out where we're going to stay in beautiful Augusta, Georgia. And I thought I had a place rented, and the lady got back to me. She said, nah, I sold that house years ago. I've been trying to figure out how to get it off of website. And meanwhile, time's a-wasting, and more and more places are getting snatched up.
Yeah. Well, sleep in your car.
But I'm thinking I'm using the old-school site. I got to Airbnb it.
Well, have you considered the Super 8?
No. Oh, good Lord, no. You can't get a room, and they're crazy expensive.
Oh, really?
Plus, I'm going, you know, with some heated family pool. Members.
Color television.
Oh, heated pool. Heated pool full of urine and chlorine. The hell?
Color television.
If I'm trying to get, like, grime off of tires, I might use what's in a hotel pool.
Here's a question about the hotels.
Yes.
Or do you have more on that before I sidetrack?
Doesn't matter.
Was that a plea if somebody's listening in the Georgia area to let you stay at their home? Is that what that was?
I find that extremely unlikely. No, I was just curious what people thought is the best site these days.
Right. It's
probably Airbnb, I guess. I don't know.
It's the most famous one. So this happened recently, I think, when I traveled to Kansas for Christmas. So I'm unpacking my bag when we get home. No, when we got to the room, because all my brothers were there, and the kids' cousins. So this, we call it Cousin Christmas. We're all together. I'm packing my bag, and there's a soap in there from the hotel, and one of my kids says, "Dad, you stole the soap from the hotel." And I said, "That's not stealing." And one of the people in the room, I don't remember, said, "Yeah, it is." And then a couple other people said, "No, it's not." What's your opinion on taking soaps?
It's a disposable item they expect you to use.
And which items? I'm perfectly comfortable with the soaps. Like, I'm not actually concerned. But
I often drive away with a mattress strapped to the roof of my car. Just speaking for myself.
I assume the TV is for my pleasure.
What about chandeliers? I like the chandelier.
Sure. If it's lighting, nice, grab it.
Lots of lighting. If you come to my home, it looks like you're in a Motel 6.
You talk to any hotel manager, they'll say, "You guys think you're being funny. We have lamps disappear all the time."
Well, so which items are completely 100% okay to take? And I don't, like, for some reason, I feel a little oogie about some of the disposable items, but not the soaps for some reason. Soaps, I am completely guilt-free about taking the soaps.
No, the soap, the little bottles of shampoo or whatever, that's 100% grabbable. Grab them.
And I only do it at a decent hotel because I don't want the Super 8 soap most of the time. But this was we stayed at a nice hotel in Denver, wherever we were, and they had really nice soap. And so they got one in the shower and one at the sink. And I use the one at the sink, and then I have to wash my hands. I use the same bar in the shower so that I can save the other bar for my own use because I like the soap. Is that like extraordinarily cheap or uncool, classless? Theft? Any of those things? It might be classless.
Well, it's not theft. It might be those other things, but if it is, we're both guilty of it. I just think, ask yourself from the hotel's perspective, is it theft? And the answer would be absolutely not for the soap. They expect you to use that, you know, whether in room or a little bit down the road. You know, a lamp, a towel, a bedspread. Would steal those bedspreads. So gross.
Ew.
Oh, my God, so gross. But, you know, the TV, the mattress, like I said, that's theft. The soap, it's not theft.
Okay.
It's fine.
Mouthwash?
Sure. The little sewing kit?
The sewing kit?
Yeah. Absolutely.
In case I need to darn some socks.
Or the always useful shower cap. I mean, I guess some gals use that occasionally, but shower cap.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Because my kids really thought, they really, look, the look on their face was, "You're not the person we thought you were."
Oh, wow.
I mean, that I had taken the soap.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I didn't want to promote theft. Because I'm always talking to them all the time about how I've never stolen anything. I wouldn't steal anything. You could, you know, leave the store open with nobody there. I'm not going to walk in and take anything. It doesn't make any difference. And then they see me stealing the soap from the hotel.
Quote, unquote, yeah. Well, were you able to convince them otherwise?
I hope so.
Do you think?
I think so. They actually made me think, am I on solid ground here? But you're saying they're disposable items.
Yeah.
Okay.
They budget that they replenish that in the room every new guest, I think, or at least mostly.
So I don't take all the coffee cups that they've provided, disposable coffee cups. I
haven't used these coffee cups. You don't empty the box of tissues, probably?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. I don't take the whole box of tissues or, you know, here's a whole roll of toilet paper. That's disposable. And it's for my pleasure. I don't take the roll of toilet paper. I wouldn't even think of it. And I would consider that stealing. So there is a gray area in there.
You're right. You changed my mind. You are a thief and a hypocrite.
Yeah, I mean, I may have convinced myself. that, no, you know what? I used as much toilet paper as I needed and left the rest. Any more than that would be not cool. Why is it not the same for the soap? Hmm. I only need one bar. I'm taking the other one. Yeah, I can't make a good argument for taking the soap, but not the toilet paper or the tissues.
Well, what if they give you two packets of coffee? You drink one, you grab the other one.
I would never
do that.
Is
that out of line?
I wouldn't do that.
Really? Huh.
I haven't. I can't justify it one way or the other. I can't make an argument one way or the other. But my logic is not holding together. That's what I'm saying. Either one's okay, or none of them are okay.
Well, my problem with, like, taking the rest of the roll of TP is just that it's odd. I don't think it's a significant expense to the hotel. It's just wherever you're going, there's going to be more. I mean, unless it's the early days of the freaking COVID and you know, people are down to using newspapers.
So you load up on the K-cups and the coffee cups and the creamer and the little straws and everything, huh?
Well, no, I don't want that stuff. I suppose conceivably a K-cup? I don't know.
It's a cost to the hotel.
True. You know what? I probably shouldn't tell this story. I've belonged to a couple of golf clubs through the years where there was a member who would show up and, like, sometimes even, like, with their family, and they're in the pro shop at a nice golf club. You might have a basket of oranges and some hard-boiled eggs or something or whatever.
A hard-boiled egg on a hot day.
Some
that's
muffins
refreshing.
Or it's not necessarily a hot day. Anyway, so they got this stuff for the golfers if they want them, and these people would sweep in and empty all those into their pockets and walk out again.
Wow.
Their argument being, well, that's there for the members to enjoy, so. And there was one guy in particular at a golf club. They had a coffee machine set up, and it's a private club, okay? So, you know, it's members there. And he'd go fill his pocket with all the K-cups and walk out again. Say,
wow.
Well, they're for the members, so. And it's like, no.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, how do you not? See, that one is not even close to a gray line to me.
That's not your business.
That one's not even close. That you're just a thief or a hoarder, some sort of weirdo.
I would tend to agree, yeah. Yeah.
I walk in.
I mean, that's just crazy. So, okay, so let's take it to the ridiculous extreme, as they say. There's a Latin term for that, I think, but I can never remember Latin terms. I speak English. Anyway, so every single member does that. Say you got 300 golf members, 350. So every single member does that every day. You are no longer a golf club. You're a K-cup dispensary by the thousands and thousands, okay? Which is just insane. If most people grab that one bar of soap out of the hotel room, meh.
I walk into a place and they got oranges, cool, apples, cool, the other things you mentioned. Free hard-boiled eggs just isn't tripping my trigger, but maybe it's me.
Oh, it's great. It's protein. It's a nice protein snack.
Oh,
it's one of my favorite on-course snacks.
Oh, it's because you're exercising and you want to eat something healthy.
Yeah.
It's not you're lounging around, you're saying, you know what sounds good.
No, you grab it and you put it in the golf cart or in your bag or whatever,
right.
And
well,
you munch on it on
thing.
The course.
That's like a power bar or something. Okay.
Right, exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I thought
humble
it was
egg.
Just, I thought it was just you're hanging around, you're reading a book, sitting by the fire. You know
what would be
good
right now? Let's do up a basket of hard-boiled eggs.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if you... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
What did you mostly do during the 2 weeks we were off?
Played a fair amount of golf when weather permitted. Had a great visit with Little D, my daughter.
Huh,
my youngest
awesome.
Came home. My two older kids, and it's sad. I'm trying to remember my time at their age. They're both working more or less hourly jobs, both of them in fields that get busier during the holidays, and they both live far enough away that it would be, you know, a full day travel and a full day back.
And expensive.
Well, I'd be willing to foot that bill, honestly, but and it's too hard for them. Plus, they have significant others, both of them. And they have lives where they are. So it's among their first ever out on their own Christmases. And it's a little sad for me, but I'm trying to be happy for them.
Yeah. I remember when I was roughly that age. That's when I was not joining in the family, original family get-togethers. Yeah, for those reasons.
And I miss them like crazy. But they both live in the Pacific Northwest. And so, Judy and I...
Be more specific.
Glad bad and kept care.
Washington and Oregon. And so we're going to, at some point, probably like March, we're going to trek upward to the Northwest and have a Christmas Junior with them.
My original nuclear family that I came out of, we all got together, me, my two brothers, mom and dad, who are grandma and grandpa, to my kids and my brother's kids. My brother's nieces are all so fantastic. They set the bar really high for successful parenting. And I just don't think I'm going to get there.
Wow.
I don't know. I need to ask for more recommendations or something. But really amazing how my nieces have turned out. And they had kids at normal ages. My brothers did, not like me. So they're two in college and one in high school. But
Jack, the Tony Randall of the radio business, really.
But it reminds me...
the Mick Jagger, if you will.
Oh, geez. Well, I am parenting my kids. I'm not having them and disappearing.
Good distinction, yeah. Sir. Well said.
I practically the only thing I do is parent my kids, which is fine with me. That's what I signed up for. That's what I want to. I did it on purpose. Interesting. Did you see David Brooks' thing in the New York Times about the nuclear family? Or it might have been in the Atlantic. He's a columnist for the New York Times, and he got a fair amount of attention a couple of weeks ago because he's a conservative, using my finger quotes, by New York Times standards. And he left the Republican Party and wrote a column about it. And it got a whole bunch of attention. And I wish this other article that he had written had gotten as much attention. Who cares about who leaves a party or whatever? That's sort of inside beltway pundit crap. Who cares? But he wrote an interesting part about the failure of the idea of the nuclear family. When I first saw the headline, I thought, I'm going to hate this.
That's so funny. Exactly the same.
Because I'm pro-nuclear family, or at least until I looked at it through this lens. You know, I just think there's, I really don't think there's anything more important than family at all. But his idea was that somehow we went down this road of the nuclear family being the building block of society. And by nuclear family, we mean mom, dad, and kids. And what has worked throughout history for human beings is mom, dad, kids, brothers, sisters, grandparents, cousins.
Right.
All being together and working together as a unit. And the nuclear family, he said, is not working. For one thing, it tends to not hold families together as well, which I think is completely clear. And all the different things. I mean, watching my kids around grandma and grandpa and my brothers and cousins, the amount of influence they got just in the couple of days we were together from, you know, the people that raised me, from the people mm-hmm. that are my siblings, seeing how we interact as adults and them as kids and we were kids, you know, all that different stuff plays such a huge role. And a lot of you are fortunate enough that you are living that old, I know people, my son's best friend. There's nine kids of the adults and they're all together and they all, everything, babysitters are always brothers, sisters, cousins, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Grandma and grandpa are always around. That's just awesome. But for a lot of us, that's not the way we've crafted our lives and we're missing out on a lot.
Yeah. And one of the points Brooks makes and others have made, and I think it makes pretty good sense also, is that so much of the world at this point is designed purely to make us economical animals. Economic animals, spenders, workers, consumers, economic animals. When life is so much more than that, and so you have just the nuclear family and that pressure to say, be in a nice house, have nice cars, mean both mom and dad have to work. And then you're farming out childcare, et cetera, whether it's to a childcare center or a babysitter or whatever. And in some cases, absolutely, it's a necessity. And it's not a New Year's resolution exactly, but I've rededicated myself. And part of it was inspired by the essay from Abigail Schreier. I read you chunks of early in the show. If you missed it, go get the podcast, armstrongandgetty.com. But she was talking about the reason she wrote her book, Irreversible Damage, about the craze of adolescent girls to decide they're transgender. And then the rush to get them carved up and hormoned up and the rest of it and the irreversible damage it does. She wrote the book because it's true. She wasn't looking to make a point. She's not an activist. She's not a rabble rouser. She's not a troll. She saw this and she wrote it because it is. And the fact that it makes you or me or anybody else uncomfortable to come to terms with what is not an excuse to avoid it. Rather long tangent to what we were talking about. I'll speak for myself. I am not judging anybody who has their kid in daycare, babysitters, whatever. For a lot of people, depending on where you live, that's the only way to feed yourselves or whatever. Again, you run your life the way you see fit. But as a society, we've gotten away from the extended family being the unit. And the availability of childcare, help with meals, the tree falls down. Who do I turn to help me with it? You know, I'm trying to think of some manly, manful things and that sort of thing. Who mentors your sons? Who mentors your daughters?
The role model aspect of it is huge.
Oh, it's enormous. It's enormous. And I think we have in the last, you know, and Brooks is pretty specific about this, but the trend away from the extended family generally staying in a geographic location, to the nuclear family being its own unit, very much a unit. You know, that's just been like a half a century.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing. Please. That is a microsecond in terms of the human experience. And it does leave certain things to be desired. And I think it's worth taking a look at. I'll dig that up. We'll have the link at armstrongandgetty.com.
Yeah, it's an interesting notion I hadn't heard anybody bring up before.
And, you know, and one more tangent, trying to explain what I was, because I don't want to offend anybody, not because I hesitate to offend people. If you've ever listened to the show, you know it happens regularly. But we as a society, particularly American media and social media, rush to good thing, bad thing. In favor of it, against it. Good for Republicans, bad for Democrats. You know, which tribe am I in? We don't spend enough time just taking in truth and thinking about it and rubbing our chins and thinking, wow, That's good in some ways and bad in some ways. Some of that was unanticipated. The, you know, the whole unanticipated, what's the rule of unanticipated consequences? You know, I think we could all stand to be a little slower. A little slower to judge.
And everything in life is a trade-off. Everything.
Sure. Oh, 100%.
And why people can't always grasp that.
Yeah.
This is better, but this will be worse. Let's weigh them and choose a side, but... There are always trade-offs.
Yeah. You remember when you traded that 800-pound hog for that used car, Michael? That was a trade-off.
I remember that.
I mean, you don't have that hog anymore, and some days you miss him, don't you?
I do.
You have a way to get to work, but when's the last time you had bacon?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.